Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality in a way that is extremely empowering. Speaking of exploring powerful perspectives, I'm super excited to announce the release of my very first book, The Golden Key: Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. If you're ready to alchemize the circumstances in your life so that your abundance expands to an entirely new level in 2021, head over to goldenkey.gift to download the audio or ebook as my gift to you by using the code POSITIVEHEAD. All right, all you positive heads, on this week's Soul Share episode, I'm very excited to have Emily Ghosh here with me on the show. Emily is host of the Soul Collective podcast, where, much like this show, she is consistently exploring ways to elevate and expand our collective consciousness. Super excited to have you here, Emily. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brandon. It's such an honor to be here.
It is an honor to have you, and I want to jump right in with my very cliche opening question.
Okay.
You're in an elevator. The woman next to you looks over, says, "What's your passion?" You've got 10 floors to answer. What do you say?
My passion is vulnerability. You know, I feel like we all have such an amazing story to tell, and sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit. And that's why I know this is something that you and I share, is a love for podcasting, but it really takes you front and center to the core of vulnerability and to what people are experiencing. And like, look, this human experience is messy. You know, I think it's one of the things that connects us all is the polarity that we experience in this dimension. And so to be able to come so close to that is something that I absolutely love. It sets my soul on fire.
Mm. Love that. Yeah, I think vulnerability is a superpower. And people are starting to catch on to that. You know, whereas in the past, not so long ago, it's like you never showed anything that wasn't, the picture perfect. You know, even you think earlier days of social media. And now people are so drawn to sharing their vulnerabilities and taking all the, like, here's me without my makeup on. And I think it's so good that that's happening.
Yeah, I really agree. I feel like vulnerability is the new reality. You know, like, reality television was like the craze at one point in time, and people are just over that. They want to know, like, what is beneath the surface? Like, what, how do you really, really feel?
Mm-hmm. And speaking of getting beneath the surface, I know one of the things that you like to speak to is something that most people listening have probably either been through, heard about, or if they haven't, you're in for a treat, because I'm going to ask you about Dark Night of the Soul. What your thoughts are around the Dark Night of the Soul.
Yeah, you know, I feel like a Dark Night of the Soul is a beautiful mystical journey that our souls orchestrate a long time before we come into this human existence. And really, like, what I think of the Dark Night of the Soul is a reacquainting with our soul's path. You know, I think that everybody comes into this world with a unique inner blueprint and a soul purpose. And there are sort of forces that condition us to dim our own light and forget our own divinity. I know this was definitely the case for my journey, but I just started to get more and more off path and disconnected from my soul. And the Dark Night of the Soul can be a really scary and almost like disillusion of the self. You know, it's like a really, really deep ego death. But it allows us to go into the depth and reacquaint ourselves. And it's really a path of self-discovery. So for me personally, you know, I just went on this path that was very scripted. You know, I grew up in an environment which was emotionally turbulent. And for a very long time, I thought that love was outside of me. It was, you know, it was something elusive and fleeting that I got glimpses of. And I thought that in order to get love, I needed to earn it. I needed to strive for it. I don't know if, you know, anybody can relate to this story, but it was really a story of checking the boxes in order to feel like I was worthy of love. And so that took me on a path of, you know, really doing all the things that society tells you that you're supposed to do. So I was, you know, I got my MBA and I was president of my class and I worked for, you know, one of the largest media companies in the world. And then I went on to work for a Fortune 500 company. And I was so set on this path, Brandon. You know, I wanted to be the youngest director of this, you know, 55,000 employee company.
Wow.
And that's,
ambitious.
That's what I had my, it was on my vision board. You know, I was doing all the things and I was working overtime and I was, you know, that's what I thought would, you know, make me happy. And I got the promotion earlier than I thought. And there was this brief moment of celebration and then a sinking feeling of dread, just knowing, you know, I would have to work even harder to keep up. Now, I don't think that I would have gone through a dark night of the soul if there hadn't been sort of like this divine alarm clock, as my mentor, you know, often refers to it as like, you know, we can only hit snooze on the alarm clock so many times. And then it's like, okay, no, it's time. It's time. And I had sort of all of these things happening at once. And sometimes this happens to us, right? When we're on this path of awakening, it's like not just the job or the purpose that feels drastically out of alignment, but it's, you know, I had health crises, you know, I had a health condition where like all of a sudden all of my hair was falling out. I thought I was dying. You know, my friends are looking at me like, wow, what is wrong? Are you, you know, going to be okay? I had a major surgery that during this time. And my relationships at this time really illustrated a lack of self-worth, self-love, and personal boundaries. You know, it felt like I was dancing with darkness. It was, you know, I was on this emotional roller coaster and there was no way to get off the ride. And it really took me on a downward spiral of unworthiness and despair.
Wow.
And
yeah, I was going to say, I wish this is a moment where I wish that this was a video. You know, you guys weren't just hearing the audio, because the idea of you just falling apart and your hair falling out and all these things, like you're so like shiny and glowy and healthy and beautiful. And it's I instantly, what I was thinking as you were saying that is like, wow, what a testament to, you know, the work that you've shifted yourself into. And I'm also really glad. I always start off like, I want to hear your backstory. And I just went right in because I was like, oh, I love the topic of Dark Night of Soul. And then I was like, oh, I didn't even ask any backstory. So I'm glad they kind of merged. And yeah, so I just wanted to
share that. They definitely merged. And, you know, it's just like my journey, if it's taught me anything, which is, you know, it's taught me many things, is just like, all that matters is beneath the surface. You know, we can have these shiny exteriors or these, you know, masks that we wear, but when we take all of that off, we are all so similar, you know? And it is like getting in touch with the soul is one of the most powerful and transformational journeys we could ever go on.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you, so you got the job, things started falling apart. Had you already been, you said that you had a vision board and had you, so you'd already been on sort of your spiritual path leading up to this at this time?
Not really. You know, I would consider myself like a positive person and, you know, read, you know, spiritual books, but really that that wasn't my path. It was more about being very busy, being very stuck in the matrix, you know, if you will. Like I was swimming in a sea of expectations. And the further up the ladder I got, the further I was away from my center point and all that exists within me. And so as all these things were starting to fall apart, I finally recognized myself as the common denominator creating disharmony in my life. And I finally realized that I needed to go within. And so this journey for me, like I compare it to swimming upstream against a current, because on the one hand, we have all of these anchors that keep us stuck in a lower, heavier, third dimensional reality. You know, things like the media and toxins in our environment and just like the busyness of our day-to-day lives, right? And so it was a gradual process for me, but it the first step for me in my healing journey was really to become very attuned to the thoughts that I was thinking. And it's funny, I had an astrology reading around this time. Mm-hmm. And I was in a really, you know, relationship that I was holding on to. And it was very, there was a lot of love, but it was very unhealthy. And so like many of us, when we, our intuition is telling us that it's time to end it, but we really don't feel ready, we can sometimes look for a sign outside of ourselves to override our inner knowing. So I went to see this, you know, famous astrologer, and instead of telling me that things would magically work out and that we were, you know, destined to be together, she said, "Your relationship is like an old dirty blanket."
Oh.
not what I was expecting, right? And so that was that blunt honesty. And she also suggested that, you know, I should get some books on neuro-linguistic programming. And that was the first time that I had ever heard of NLP. And I think this is, you know, a great starting point. And, you know, I'm sure many of your listeners have gone the route of, you know, looking at the mind first, and then we realize like how our energetic bodies and, you know, all of the, our emotions, our spiritual, physical bodies are all so deeply interrelated. But my entry point was the mind, right? And I began to attune to all the thoughts which would have previously gone unnoticed. I began to realize all of sort of those negative critical voices inside of my head, you know, that were just hanging out, having a party. Yeah. And I think that this is one of the most, you know, greatest acts of self-love, is that when we can begin to take inventory of all the ways that we're being unloving to ourselves. And so Absolutely. For me, yeah, it really was this process of understanding my thoughts, recognizing my emotions, and then came this journey of really trust and learning how to trust myself again. Because I think that's one of the biggest issues, is that when we live in this busy day-to-day culture that, you know, has an emphasis on what are you doing? Who are you? What is your identity? We can lose sight of what is our own inner wisdom. And that for me was like a huge part of my journey.
Yeah. Yeah. When you start really self-analyzing, you start really looking closely at your thoughts, it can be shocking at first. I think for a lot of people, especially, you know, and people have varying degrees of self-deprecating thoughts rolling through their head. And I think for some people, it's just like, that just is, it's just the way it is. And all of a sudden you start on this journey of understanding, you know, like NLP in this case, and holding them up for examination. It's like, oh, wow, you know, this is, I got a lot of work to do. And so I'm sure that was pretty shocking it sounds like for you.
It can be, but it's also inspiring. I feel like if anybody, you know, is listening to my journey and they can, you know, take one piece, is like, you can go from the depths of darkness in terms of like anxiety and mental looping of, you know, just negative thoughts to such a place of self-love. It is possible, you know, and I think shadow work is something that gets sort of like a confusing rap almost, but I feel like the way I think about shadow work is like, I don't know about for you, but it's like swimming in an ocean and you see like this big shadow lurking in the darkness. It's like, oh, is that a shark or is that something scary? Like, I'm going to turn away from that because it doesn't seem safe. But really, shadow work is counterintuitive to that. It's like we need to turn into it and really embrace and say what is there and become really curious to what is lurking in the subconscious.
Yeah, I love that perspective. It's like, you know, it's not something to be feared. Richard Rudd says fear is safe. And I love that in general, that idea, like, wow, okay, that's not something you normally think of when you think of fear, you know, it being safe. And it's like, when you confront this part of yourself, I mean, the shadow is the part of self that just needs, it's like the wounded child, you know, that needs integration and healing. And it's like so many things, we make them so much bigger than they actually are because of, you know, fear just makes everything worse. Whereas if you're willing to sit down and, you know, invite your demons to tea, it's a whole different, you know, experience. And then now you can start processing and understanding, you know, like you said, it's a beautiful mystical journey. You've never seen a work of art without shadow in it. You know, you are a work of art. You are your soul's living expression, artistic expression and offering to the world. And, you know, shadow is a crucial part of that.
Yeah. Yes. That's such a beautiful way of looking at it. I totally agree. You know, and I think fear, guilt, and shame are the pervasive frequencies that keep us stuck. Yeah. You know, they keep us in a state of separation, and everybody has those, you know, and I think that the ego can just do such a masterful job of keeping us safe, you know? And, you know, that was definitely the case for me. And it was like, when this happened, it was like as if a giant spotlight turned on and I was able to see myself with a much greater level of awareness. And I think that is like separating and distinguishing, because the shadow, I mean, our ego basically is there as a self, you know, defense mechanism. And if we can embrace that with compassion, like we're talking to a child, like, thank you for keeping me safe, you know, instead of resisting that, there is so much liberation that comes on the other side.
Yeah. I a lot of times people will say ego is the enemy. And, you know, there's even a popular book out there. I saw this as the title and it's like, I don't agree. You know, it's ego is a necessary part of our human, you know, journey. And the problem comes into play when the ego is steering the ship. You know, it is meant to, like Sting said it perfectly in the song, Let Your Soul Be Your Pilot. Or, well, that's a lyric. I don't know the name of the song, but yeah, if you Google that, you'll find it. And it's such a beautiful song. And it's like, you know, meanwhile, our ego has, you know, taken over and can get like so many things in our life. If it's out of balance, if I'm, you know, trying to use my feet to drive my steering wheel in my car instead of my hands, I'm probably not going to be as effective, right? So if the ego is the one, you know, steering my day-to-day life more than my soul and my heart, you know, my head, you can even say your head versus your heart, then I'm going to get questionable results, you know? And so there's a time and a place for it, and it's meant to keep us safe, like you said, and it's meant to help us to have this experience of individuality that we came here, even though there's only one of us in the room, we wanted to pretend like there was another. And so, you know, that was a part of the job description, right? We needed this thing. So, and we need it. So I'm curious what you think, how people can differentiate between the ego and the soul.
Yeah, that's such a great question. You know, the soul is more like a whisper, I've found. Mm. It speaks to us quietly. The ego is the second voice that comes in after we say, oh, we should do that thing that sets our soul on fire. We should write that book. We should launch that course. We should start a podcast. And then the ego quickly comes in and says, that's going to be scary. What if you fail? Mm. What if people laugh at you? It's the voice that comes in after that, that tries to keep you safe, tries to protect you. And the soul will come back through, but it's much quieter. And we need to discern to listen to that voice. I find that the soul, you know, people ask me this all the time. I'm sure you get this a lot too, is like, how do you cultivate your intuition? How do you listen to your soul? Well, it is just like a muscle. Like going to the gym is like, in the beginning, it's hard to hear because we have all these voices. We have all this distraction. There's all this noise, but really attuning to the soul is, I know that you're in there and I'm going to listen to you. And I think the problem that occurs is that we get these intuitive hits. We get this guidance and then we discard it. And so intuition works like the greater that we trust, which is difficult to do, the greater guidance will receive, and it that muscle continues to grow and to cultivate, right? But so what happens is we get these intuitive downloads that are like, you are meant for a great purpose. And here is a vision of something that you're meant to do, you know, fill in the blank of what is like on your heart to bring forward. And then it's like, no, I couldn't possibly do that. You know, how will I make money? How will I survive? You know, and then we put that intuitive download to the side. And I've seen this so many times, and, you know, with myself, and it's something that I've become greater at doing is to listen, because that is truly one of the greatest acts of self-love, is when we actually listen to a download that we receive. It's like, oh, wow, what an act of courage, what an act of pouring back into the self. And that's how it just continues to build and build over time.
Yeah, I love that idea of, you know, the more that you listen, the stronger and the more powerful the guidance gets, you're rewarded for trusting intuition. And, you know, it sort of makes me think about, you know, I talk a lot about what is your intention of whatever you're doing. If you want to know the outcome of whatever you're doing, look at the intention. And in some way, it'll reflect that intention. You know, more and more, especially in the new world that is emerging, I think that will become more and more pertinent to consider. And so when you start talking about intuition and, you know, do I listen to my what's what and discerning? So if I believe I'm tapping into my intuition, that whisper versus, I like that too. You said, you know, how it comes in as a whisper, then all the other voices of why not and what you need to be scared of. It's like, oh, that's a great way to discern. It's the pure voice versus all the stuff rooted in fear, right? Intuition's not going to be rooted in fear. Even if, I've even heard it said, even if it's like something like warning you of something like, hey, maybe you shouldn't go to this thing or whatever. But it's not like a panicky, you know, like fear sort of thing. And, you know, this is can get very nuanced, but what I love is the idea of, okay, I'm going to trust my intuition and just setting the intention to do so, no matter what comes, the results are going to be really potent and powerful because my intention is to get more in touch with my soul's voice. Even if I got it confused, let's say, you know, people are always scared about getting it wrong, but my intention was, and therefore, what comes from that positive, pure intention to be more in tune with my higher self must ultimately lead me to a good place. And I had a guest on recently who talked about this topic. He was talking about how intuition is the purest, most intelligent form of information that we can utilize to navigate our 3D reality because it's factoring in all the things that you know from your physical experience that maybe you can recollect and all the things beyond, you know, what you know of. It's like, you know, your higher self can see the chessboard from a vantage point that you can't begin to. And then it's feeding you information based off of that combined with your 3D experience information. And therefore, this is the most, you know, potent form of information that we can apply and utilize. So not working out that muscle is really insanity, if you think of it in those terms.
Yeah, it is. It is such a valuable tool. And I think more and more we're seeing intuition used in such fascinating ways and in business and creativity. And, you know, the way I think about intuition is like getting out of the frontal lobe. And I actually picture it because, you know, there is a place for like strategy and logic. And I feel like it really comes from the frontal lobe. And I'm pointing to like the front part of my brain, right? And there's a purpose for this, right? But if we want to cultivate our intuition, it's almost like our intuition sits in corners and around the frontal lobe. And it's like imagining and envisioning this part of your brain being activated. And it is more of like a calming sensation of like bringing this, the information manifests in like a more like creative way, almost like in a meditative way, like it's, we're able to access that part of the brain. So like, you know, the reason why I bring that up is because if you're in a state of fight or flight, or if you're in like a go, 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 you're going to rely on your frontal part of your brain. And that is where like you're able to make quick, logical decisions that protect you and, you know, your survival. But really to get into accessing your intuition, you need to be in a more relaxed brain state. That's why meditation is so powerful. That's why breath work is so powerful. That's why getting to a place of neutrality is so powerful, because we're able to really draw on that and bring it forward in a more powerful way.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So, so true. So what are your techniques? I mean, do you have techniques to help to strengthen and fortify your intuition?
You know, for me, like it's been about getting into a place of neutrality. You know, people talk about neutrality a lot, but it, like I feel like neutrality is a place of peace and clarity. A place, you know, we're constantly bombarded by different frequencies. And I'd love to like get your thoughts on this, because, you know, we talk about, you know, raising our vibration. Like we're constantly being, you know, vacillating. That's a part of being a multidimensional being, right? It's like this human experience. But, you know, to be in a place of neutrality is to come to a place of calmness and peace where our frequencies become balanced. And I think that meditation is a great way to do this. I also think automatic writing is such a powerful tool. And for me, like personally, I love to do automatic writing in the morning when I wake up, when there's not like as many distractions, you know, even if it's like slightly dark outside, getting in and actually asking your soul a question, I think is so powerful. And then writing as if you're answering. I mean, your guides are there, your support team is there, and it's coming through you, and you will be absolutely amazed at like some of the things that come out, you know?
Right.
And
that's right.
Because I think also too is like, you know, say a lot of times people get downloads when they're like out running or they're in nature, and things will come through, but our minds are so quick and we're processing so much information that you might get like a valuable clue about somebody that you need to like reach out to for a meeting or a project that you need to start, but then you forget it and you don't like write it down, you know?
Yeah, right.
And so like writing it down is so important. Actually drawing pictures, like I will sometimes just free draw, and it's like amazing. It's almost like those things have come true, you know, or I'll have like words and it's like my husband's album is like that, you know, that name. So it's just incredible. Some of the things that just transpire through our intuition and creativity.
Wow. I love that suggestion. Automatic writing. For those who aren't familiar, it's essentially just sitting down and like, I like the prompting with a question and then just opening yourself up to see what comes through, right? Not overthinking it, stream of consciousness kind of thing. And, you know, I mean, people have I remember first hearing about automatic writing years and years ago pertaining to like communicating with like spirits, you know, is another way that it can be utilized. In this case, we're talking about connecting with really your own, you know, super conscious, I guess, or higher self. And so I think that's a wonderful, I've never really done it, but now you make me want to. So
so how, what was your process like for writing your book? Were you doing automatic writing or were you just
I guess, well, maybe I was in a certain sense. And now that I think about it, because really it was just like, you know, first I sort of figured out what bullets, you know, what keys I wanted to cover. And then from there, those gave me prompts. So it's kind of like posing the question and then it's like, whoa, what comes through, you know? So I guess in a sense, it's like, I think when we can kind of go to the other side and see beyond the veil and have a better understanding, it's like all works of art are channeled to some degree. You know, it's like, yeah. I think it was Mozart or Beethoven. One of them was like, I don't write any of this stuff. I just like comes through, you know? And so I think to some degree, in some cases more consciously people are engaging in that process than others, you know, subconsciously, but it's sort of like you're the steward of this song or these words, this book, this, you know, and I think it's a really fascinating thing to set out to do that. It's just a regular practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another thing that's so important is like giving yourself the time and space, because that is truly an act of self-love. Like you were saying, I'm going to write this book. This is a gift that I'm giving not only to myself, but also to the world. And you know, if we don't give ourselves the time to show up for ourselves, it's really hard to get into that zone where creativity is able to flow. You know, yeah. If we're doing it as like an afterthought of like, oh, you know, I'm going to make a 5 minutes here, or like, you know, maybe some intuitive guidance is going to come through, you know, it may or may not. But if we really create the structure of like, I'm going to create the boundaries around, you know, giving myself time to automatic write, or I'm going to give myself the time to really meditate and see what wants to come through.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think you're going to like this one. So my friend, Sisa, who recently moved in here at the Mystic Manor, and she was talking about her meditation practice and how, you know, speaking of, you know, sort of getting guidance and opening your intuition, like as she's went that path, she's like, I definitely get like guidance now, you know, this voice, whether my higher self or guides or whatever it is. And she's like, and she got something really powerful that she shared with me the other day that I've talked about a few times now on the show, because it's really impacted me as someone who's such a doer and so, you know, busy with doing things in the world. And like Osho said, you know, I've quoted him a lot of times. He said, if everyone should meditate at least 20 minutes a day, unless you're too busy, you should meditate for an hour. And and she said a voice, you know, basically her guidance that she received in meditation was, with each moment that you meditate, it's depositing more time into your life. So the opposite of what people like me have, like, I don't have time to do this. I got too much to handle. It's like, oh, do you want to create more time as a master of time and space? This malleable situation in which you find yourself on planet Earth, go meditate. That actually creates, it's like the banking time. Like what? Like that's such a game changer. It's the opposite.
1000% attest to that. And it's counterintuitive again. Like you won't believe it until you do it, and you know, it takes some time, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Such a powerful, powerful perspective. Before we continue on with today's episode, I'd like to take a moment to tell you a little bit about my very first book, The Golden Key: Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. The concept for the book initially came to me in a dream and has been followed by a next level amount of synchronicity, confirming for me that the information in the book is pertinent to get to the world at this moment in our collective evolution. In the book, I share the 8 keys to manifesting abundance that I've personally discovered over 25 years of trial, error, and deep exploration, including one golden key that ultimately ties them all together. I think most of you will agree with me that talk is a bit cheap, especially these days, and results speak the loudest of all. Well, these keys have led me to manifesting incredible results, such as an Inc. fastest growing private company, uncanny health, incredible relationships, and success with this podcast. However, I'm not any more special than you, and anyone can apply this information to achieve incredible results in their own life. I also believe waking up our planet by sharing these keys to abundance is the quickest way to help us to transition our home into the planet of paradise it is destined to become, which is why I'd like to gift the book to you at goldenkey.gift when you use the golden key code POSITIVEHEAD. I would also like to invite you to create your own unique golden key code so you in turn can gift the book to others, as well as invite you to participate in a unique abundance manifestation game with me and the other readers that is outlined in detail at the end of the book and on the website, where readers are also going to share the inspiring results of their abundance manifestation experiments. Lastly, I'm going to practice what I preach by sharing 50% of the abundance generated from the golden game and sale of the other golden goodies on the website with you and all the other readers. So if you're ready to alchemize the circumstances in your life so that your abundance expands to an entirely new level, head over to goldenkey.gift to download the audio or ebook as my gift to you by using the code POSITIVEHEAD. Also, if you end up loving and appreciating your gifted copy of the book, please take a moment to go to Amazon and give it a review, which will greatly help me reach and unlock more hearts with the golden key. Let's talk about a thing I love to talk about on the show, and I know you're intrigued by as well, this idea of potential realities and timelines. And jumping timelines and I've even heard this idea. What was it called? I don't know if it was quantum leaping or I'm just thinking of the old show, but where, you know, people really are, you know, focusing on stepping into their highest timeline. What are your thoughts on that?
This is something that at first confused me, you know, like mm-hmm. I got it theoretically, but I was like, okay, mm-hmm. in practice, how do I really do this? And I want to know, you mm-hmm. know? And so I actually had an experience recently where I jumped timelines and it was something Ooh. That I was really, you know, scared to do. And I think that's the key there is getting right up against being outside of your comfort zone and feeling like coming face to face with something that you're scared of. Because when we remove the fear, we realize like how powerful we are, such powerful creator beings. And so for me, you know, I put on the summit and I'm can be more of like behind the scenes. I'm definitely introverted. And so, you know, there was an hour long talk that I was to give, and it was all about self-love and it was all about like really what I, you know, lights me up, which is vulnerability, but it's sometimes scary to like put all your stuff out there, you know, and that's sure. what this talk was, is like my entire story and, you know, and tips. And so through that experience, it was amazing, Brandon, like seriously, I just went through it. And then in the very beginning, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. And then you just show up for yourself, right? Because it is like a practice, just like writing a book or like anything else. It's like, I have absolutely no idea how I'm going to do this, but I'm committed and I'm going to trust and I'm going to surrender to the process because this is the guidance that I'm receiving. And what was amazing was like, not only was it a powerful learning experience to go through that, but literally my reality shifted as a result. Like, you know, just what I was doing after that, the opportunities that came through as a result, you know, that like the people in my reality, it just, things just started to change. And wow. I think that is absolutely the key. And that's something that I, you know, share about is like, how do we align to our highest ascension timeline is like, okay, how are we aligned with joy and how do we align with our souls as opposed to aligning with what quote unquote, what success looks like? Because that is like this, you know, that is like the scripted route, which we know that timeline, like we've, you know, probably been in that timeline and multiple times in our, you know, in this lifetime, right? But to shift out of that timeline, we need to shift to a different frequency. And so I think joy is like the highest, right? One of the highest frequencies. How can we align to joy? What is going to bring my soul the greatest amount of joy and fulfillment? And asking that question over and over again. And then when you get the feedback that scares the shit out of you, doing it anyways.
Yeah.
And trusting. What do you think?
I love that. I love the idea of choosing the joyful path over the scripted success path. Because Okay, this is the path that, what would I do to create more success? And it's like, well, okay, is that the type of success that I want? What is success? Well, success is being joyful in the moment. Okay, well, what brings me that? So I love that shift because there's a difference. And not to say there can't be something that's more of a traditional success that also brings you joy. Right.
Yeah.
But is it your highest form of joy? You know, I always talk about stepping into timelines from this moment forward. There's, you know, so many versions of us and that our life plays out at the corner of free will and destiny. And it's all destined because it's all already happened because time is an illusion. You know, my fifth birthday party is happening on another channel right now. I'm just not tuned into it. Just like, you know, my future, birthday party is happening. And, you know, this is something that science has proven how time is illusory. And so it's all destined because it's already happened, but it's free will comes in because source is infinite and plays out all the possibilities. So, you know, the first time I got a real glimpse into this, Emily, was when I was in, I got my first intuitive reading, psychic reading in Atlanta, Georgia. And the woman said, I see you in a cold place like Chicago in business. I was planning to move to Chicago and work in business at the time. And so my jaw hit the floor. And then she goes, but there's this whole other path in California, music, you know. And, you know, a year later, I formed a band, met someone from California who's like, you need to bring your band out to California. And here I am all these years later. So what was she seeing in that moment? She was seeing the potential Brandons based off of where I was at vibrationally in that now moment. And so from this now moment forward, I believe there's many versions of us. We want to experience, you know, the highest timeline, the greatest and grandest version of ourself. No matter how grandiose, Source has been there, done that, and gotten the t-shirt. And so, you know, how do we navigate into it? Following that joy frequency, being it to see it is how I really think of it. Is like you get into the vibrational alignment with that particular outcome, and therefore, you know, instead of like trying to do something to create it, you start from the end. And I think that's a lot of times where people, you know, sort of mess up. It's like, oh, if this, you know, I'm gonna do something like work in order to have something like money, in order to be something like happy.
Yes.
You be something like joyous, and then you find yourself doing and having the things that are the highest reflection of that joy. And consciously
exactly.
Choosing it.
Yeah, that's so, so powerful. I love that because, you know, we can look at it from a linear perspective of like, oh, I need to do A, B, and C in order to get to D. But like, no, you know, we're able to draw and pull. And Penny Pierce has been, I'm not sure if you're familiar with her work, but she's an incredible author and she's been a great mentor of mine. She teaches all about intuition and transparency and also numerology. And so we have... And the really cool thing about it is like, you know, say we have a different number sequence in our, life plan, we can actually draw that in closer because like past, like you said, past, present, future all conspire into one. So we're just accessing that on a faster timeline by like stepping into it.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. I'm not familiar with Penny. I just pulled up, looks really interesting. Her book, the one I pulled up, so I'll have to check out.
She's
her
incredible.
Work.
Yes.
Cool. Very cool. Well, let's see. Where do we go from here? If you had to think about, you know, as you're constantly, all of us are constantly shifting and changing and growing and expanding. What is the thing that is most alive for you right now? You know, what is the thing that you sort of has settled in that like, I see this more clear. This is like, you know, this is a tool that I'll never not have in my toolbox again. If, when I ask you that, what comes to mind?
Oh gosh. I mean, I wasn't sure. Do you mean like something that I'm doing that I absolutely love that lights me up, or like a tool that.
Really, whatever comes up for you when I say whatever I just said, what if you had to share like, this is something that I've been working on or figuring out, or I've just had an aha moment around, you know, most recently, like for me, for example, would be hearing that about you deposit more time by meditating. That's like, I haven't really thought of it in those terms. And now like that lights me up to bring up. So,
yeah, love that. So to answer that question, you know, I've been really connecting with my physical body in new ways. Mm. It's been really exciting. And this has been a journey for me, you know, and I think that this can be one of, you know, we have, you know, different constructs that can kind of keep us stuck. And I think the physical body is one of those things where, you know, there can be a lot of societal programming of like, oh, you know, should look a certain way, or, you know, not allowing us the time and space to like really connect with our physical bodies. And they're so sacred. Like we hold the keys and the codes within our DNA and the very fabric of our being. And it's so important. I think, you know, what I'm finding is just that self-discovery. You know, as a young child, I really disconnected with my emotions because they were just way too painful to experience. And so this discovery of allowing myself and honoring all the emotions that arise is really a part for me of feeling safe in my body. Mm-hmm. And just allowing and just recognizing the divine vehicle that has, you know, brought me to so many places and through so many experiences. We don't give our physical bodies enough credit. And I think sometimes like on a spiritual journey, it's like we can be focused on like the learning or the experiencing and neglect the body and really that sacred relationship. I think so much happens in our physical body. I think that's one of the aspects of really expanding into this multidimensional realm is to embrace and feel safe in the body, honoring the body, you know, allowing. So that's been a really powerful practice for me recently.
I can so relate to that as someone who, I've always had really amazing health. You know, I've always told the story, I don't believe in getting sick and sort of, and it served me very well just making that story up and, you know, going with it. So I haven't had a lot of physical things to deal with. So it's been really easy for me to like, you know, I think of my dad. I mean, you know, he's 75, about to turn 75. I mean, he wakes up each day and has like a donut and, you know, like some sweet cookies. And it's like, and he's never had an issue, you know, of any kind. And I think a lot of it is he's so relaxed and there's no stress. And he tells a story. He really thinks he's kind of, you know, bulletproof. And in a way, it's like that placebo, right? That we know 30% of all healings are placebo. So it's like it really has served him well. And so I think I definitely have some of that. And that's an easy way to then I don't need to think about it or disconnect from it, or it's fine. It's on autopilot. For me, having really recently focused more on, well, being more dedicated with meditation and doing some physical exercise every day, which has never been, you know, top of my priority. I mean, I've had moments here and there where I'm more that way than others, but every time I spend more energy in that direction, it's like, it feels so good on so many levels. And honoring this body, I mean, it really is. It's like the pinnacle of our, you know, spirit. It is as spiritual as any part of ourselves, right? I mean, it is our temple. And so I fully feel you on that. It's like, you know, those of us who are, you know, love to wax poetic about all this, you know, consciousness related stuff, we can be so cerebral and in our heads. And so I think it's that much more important to ground it down and get really in tune with our body. And that's going to level up the other stuff too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes like seeing challenges as blessings, you know, my experience has been a little bit different from yours in the sense that like I have had health challenges, like, what I described to you, and I had a major surgery. And then actually, not too long ago, many doctors were actually giving me the advice that I needed to have surgery on my spine. Wow. And, and really committed. And, I was sharing with you earlier before we started recording, is just like getting back into swimming. And how, what a gift and a blessing that's been. But that has been through healing my back in that journey. And, I think sometimes like we can look at an illness or a challenge in our life and be like, oh, wow, this really sucks. Or like, what is this here for? But I find that those, instances and experiences can be our greatest blessings. And so some of those moments that I've shared are like getting me back into my body. And that process of like understanding what a gift and a blessing my physical body is. And sometimes we can be in a place, I know for my journey in corporate America is like constantly on the go. I was running, 8 to 10 miles a day. And
wow.
And yeah. And then just, I was in my head. I wasn't in my body. Right. Because I was constantly on the go, but I just feel so much more grounded and, present.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, it's really interesting too. When you say, I think of the book Oneness, which I reference a lot. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Oneness by Rasha. It's one of my favorites. It's not that well known. And it's like the guidebook for ascension. I feel it's like, okay, here's what you can expect, people. And it's channeled material. It's brilliant. It's poetic. It's incredible. Highly recommend it. And, she talks about like, look, on your spiritual journey, oftentimes for people, and of course we all have our own unique paths, but sickness and things will come up, for some people. And it's like, hold on, I've been doing the work. Why, what am I doing wrong? When in actuality, it's like, you're in a place where you can now this pent up, energetic thing that you're carrying, whether this life, prior lives, all of the above, whatever, wherever, whenever it's coming from, it's like you're in a place where you can actually process and release it. So she talks about like, okay, so view it as like, okay, this is, the sickness, the disease leaving my body,
yes.
And as opposed to this is an indicator that I am somehow, not healthy or in alignment or doing the right thing. It's actually to the contrary, it's counterintuitive again, and so I really like that thought and perspective.
I love that you bring that up, because I'm sure everybody that tunes into the show is committed on an ascension path. They're containing enough light and enough knowledge. It's like, we're doing this, we're swimming upstream. And, that doesn't mean that, there aren't obstacles or there aren't, challenges along the way. That's why like we're continually growing and evolving. And I love that you bring that up, because it's like, oh, wow, this is happening for me, and
yes.
Really, yeah, diving into that.
Exactly. I think it's a really important piece to point out. And I always say the only thing I'm really good at is telling good stories about myself. It's like, so if I'm going, something's going to happen, what story am I going to spin as the creator being, at the center point, the lead actor and director in my own private movie that is one with source consciousness and, the creator and created rolled into one. Okay. This thing is happening or transpiring. What story am I going to spin around it that serves me? And abracadabra, we create as we speak, as it translates to, and your words are your wand, you're casting a spell. And that's really getting back to like that whole NLP thing,
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it is, it's such an act of self-love. And I know I keep going back to this, but I feel like we have a self-love crisis, and that it is like, it's the worthiness piece of it to really say, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here for whatever, like we're on this journey together and being your own best friend. I think that, and this is something that you and I chatted about when you were on my podcast, which I absolutely loved, is just like, there are no gurus. Like we are all our own guru, and, becoming your own guide. We have all the tools and the knowledge within. It's just a matter of tapping into that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, it's same with healing. It's like, I believe with all healing, it's someone creating a container to suspend disbelief enough for you to heal yourself. For, you know, a guru, okay, someone who is pointing the way for you to find what's already within you. And I think that's, you know, whenever you're get into a situation where you're giving your power away in any way, shape, or form, I think, you know, you're on a slippery slope that's disempowering you. And what are you going to get? What's going to be the results of being disempowered and giving it away to someone else? Someone else is the conduit. You know, you think of a lot of organized religion as that sort of like, oh, I'm the conduit to, you know, God through, you know, whatever the hierarchy is that's been set up. And that's just not the case. You it's so close, we're missing it. We literally, you know, we are it. And that's so empowering.
And I know. And it's not to say, like, I've had so many incredible, you know, teachers and mentors along my journey. I feel like we're meant to do this human experience collectively, you know, but at the end of the day, it's like, you know, we go through lifetimes, you know, essentially on our own path and review. And like, we've got this, we've done this so many times before, like we're here now for a reason. And it's just like, you know, we are wise beyond what we can even imagine. Like, our oversouls are so big.
So big from what I hear. It's, I had someone on the show not so long ago who was talking about oversouls and how many individuated kind of souls can be comprised of, like, you know, it's really just an interesting conversation. And you think about, you know, incarnating, or the idea, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Journey of Souls or Destiny of Souls by Michael Newton, talking about, like, you know, how you can be incarnated multiple times, you know, simultaneously. It's like, it's wild to consider.
I know. Yeah. We just, you know, we have a spectrum of, you know, the reality that is unfolding, and it's just vast and limitless. And that's what makes it so exciting. You know, I think right now is such an exciting time to be alive and on this planet. And I think that, you know, there is like turmoil that's taking place. You know, I don't know how into astrology you are, but I feel like, you know, some of these like planetary alignments are really aiding us in awakening, and they're really helping us to, you know, take a closer look at ourselves and release some of the outdated patterns and systems that we're, you know, meant to let go of. And so this is a really powerful time to be on Earth right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I find astrology fascinating, and it's like, of course we're affected by, you know, everything's affected by everything. I mean, it's scientific evidence that we're affected by the sun, that we're affected by, you know, the moon, women really particularly, especially, you know, so, okay, why wouldn't that continue to extend out, you know? And then you think about how the divination and understanding of this stuff comes through, like so many things, like, you know, the same way a shaman is, you know, using plant medicines and talks to, you know, grandmother ayahuasca, who says, okay, go get this plant and this plant, combine them together and give it to the person who's sick, and all of a sudden they're healed. It's like, it's coming from, you know, I would love to see who was there receiving the wisdom of astrology originally, like, you know, like, what is there? Wouldn't you love to see the roots of that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's such a expansive practice that so many generations and, you know, centuries upon centuries have related to and embraced.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been really epic. As we sort of wind down, I would like to switch gears a little bit and ask for a little bit of story time with Emily. I love to hear a good story of synchronicity or serendipity or a positive paranormal story. Hopefully you have something fun up your sleeve. I'm betting you do.
Yeah. So, you know, what comes to mind is actually, so, you know, I shared with you earlier that I was, in corporate America, and I started, you know, went through this dark night of the soul process, and I started, you know, the first step was to like really start to trust myself again and cultivate my intuition. And I received two downloads around that time. And the downloads, one was to leave my job in corporate America and to start my own business. And the second one was to start a podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these were both terrifying for me, for different reasons, right? And so, you know, I just, first of all, was deathly afraid of public speaking, and I had, you know, no idea what to say. And I had, the safety net of being in, having a great salary and, all that stability. And I had, at that time, really nobody close to me that was running their own business. So I hadn't, I didn't have like that roadmap for success. And so I started on this path and started trusting, but there was still some trepidation. And around this time, my best friend, who is now my husband, who I had, at that time, zero thought of, that we would end up being mm-hmm. together. We had been, best friends for 13 years.
Oh, wow. That's a cool story.
Yeah. And he gave me a book by Laura Day. She's a famous intuitive. And he had met her at an event that they had been performing at. And he told her nothing about me except my name. And so, he gave me this book by her, and it was such a thoughtful gift, and it truly touched my heart. But when I read the inside front cover, I was amazed. Laura wrote, "Dear Emily Ghosh, go for your dreams. You're halfway there."
Wow. Chills.
Yeah. It was such a powerful message, and it really gave me, it came at the perfect time when I could have given up. And, just talk about the messages and the guidance that received that is, serendipitous. This was, and I'm actually talking to her tomorrow on my podcast, which I'm, excited about.
Oh,
but it's just
cool.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Many. Yes.
I love that. That's such a great story. What was her name again?
Laura Day.
So your Laura Day is my G.I. Joe, Saturday morning cartoons. I instantly thought of that because I'd always end it at the end of like each episode with some lesson, and knowing is half the battle. And so, literally just knowing like, okay, this is the path of, this is what's coming through. That's my highest excitement and feels aligned. And like you're halfway there, like that part, because without knowing you're really, it's the most, arguably the most important part of making any decision or move, right?
Yeah. And I think sometimes like people can give up when they're so close.
Yep. So often I think people, it's like right when the little, seed is about to sprout out of the ground, people like, in that 11th hour kind of, yep. And stop right before they're about, to a new crossroads with things. So,
yeah, it takes time. Like look at anything, a podcast, right? It's such a great example. It's like, it takes time to grow. But like so many people will give up, before things start to unfold. And it's like, that's where all the magic happens.
Yep. Yep. You only lose when you quit. Well, this has been amazing. Emily, where is the best way? What's the best way for people? Obviously, the podcast, tell people how they can find you.
Yeah. So my podcast is The Soul Collective. Talk to amazing thought leaders and spiritual teachers like Brandon. It's been on, which is an incredible episode. And then my website is I Am Emily Harris. And you can connect with me on Instagram at Emily Ghosh Harris.
Excellent. Excellent. So I do have one final question for you, and it is this. In 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life according to Emily Ghosh Harris?
I was asked this in fourth grade, and I said the meaning of life was to learn. And I'll alter that slightly. I think the meaning of life is to learn how to love and deepen in love, deepen in love for self, deepen in love for everyone. It's the compassion and the empathy that really unite all of us. And so much expansion occurs when we learn how to really, and this is a journey, right? Is to learn how to really remove the barriers that stand in the way of truly loving ourselves.
Love is the answer now. What was the question?
Yes.
Thank you for being so lovely, Emily.
Thank
you,
Brandon.
Such a joy, such a pleasure. I know everyone out there is just buzzing with all the goodness that you offer. And I look forward to continue watching your incredible journey unfold, and congratulate you again for being for facing the fear. You know, if it scares you and excites you, it's probably for you, I like to say. And you're such a great example of that. And very inspiring.
Thank you, Brandon. Such an honor.
All of you out there listening, thank you for tuning your beautiful brainwaves and incredible hearts into this episode. Till next time, journey well. Love you so, so much. Also, before we sign off, I wanted to remind you to download the Golden Key audio or ebook as my free gift to you at goldenkey.gift using the Golden Key code POSITIVEHEAD. And please, if you enjoy my gift, leave a positive review on Amazon so others can find the book and unlock their lives with the help of the Golden Key as well.